For the children of the 70s and 80s, the Tube offered at least one program that tried to counteract the more negative effects of TV watching. Between 1972 and 1988, ABC's after-school specials aired in the after-school hours, and now you can relive the whole experience on DVD. In case you aren't of the Christy McNichol generation, the series covered real teen issues like bullying, drinking, and sex. They were melodramatic, hysterical, and hokey, but for all that, they ran for nearly 20 years, won Emmys, film festivals, and even a Peabody Award. Earlier this year, we sent Sarah Lemanchek to see how the after-school specials play in 2005.
Everybody who grew up in the 70s and 80s remembers them, or at least remembers that electric mix of young stars, campy tragedy, and good, solid moral lessons.
There was one I remember that I think it was about a basketball player. He was in high school.
I remember we were forced to watch him in health class, and I remember Scott Baio freaking out on drugs and getting hit over the head in the water.
There was a good one about gonorrhea, I remember.
And somehow, I think it was his little brother burnt his eyes with some bleach, and this basketball player couldn't read the back of the bottle to get him some help to flush his eyes with water. And I think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was somehow a guest star on it.
But aside from titillating details about sex or illuminating the inevitable tragedy of mixing illiteracy with bleach, there was a real effort behind these stories to look into the lives of teenagers and to address them, not as children or adults, but as something in between, which was pretty startling. Media writer for the Chicago Tribune, Maureen Ryan.
Well, I think it was something in the culture. I just remember in the 70s we had the book Free to Be You and Me. We had books like, Our Bodies, Ourselves. I remember, looking around my friends' houses for The Joy of Sex and finding it in, some secret drawer. It just seemed like there was much more of an air of exploration in terms of topics that might now today be considered inappropriate for kids or young adults.
If adults could have dirty, messy lives, then suddenly it seemed that perhaps teenagers did too, at least the teens on the ABC after-school specials, like Christy McNichol as a foster kid obsessed with her own isolation.
Listen, Carly.
No, you listen. Me and Harvey and Thomas J. were like pinballs. Somebody came along with a dime, put it in, pushed a button, and out we came, ready or not. You don't see pinballs helping each other now, do you? Because they can't. They're just things.
I think really what made them so compelling was that, if you think about probably the most popular series starring, teenagers or alleged teenagers in the 70s was Happy Days. And, while series like Maude and All in the Family were exploring social issues in a really compelling way, I don't think there was as much that was aimed at or dealt with young people on primetime television. It was just like, oh my gosh, they're really talking about this on TV and, it's for young people. It just seemed out of step almost with what was happening in primetime as far as younger people were concerned.
Happy Days premiered in 1974, around the same time the ABC after-school specials were picking up momentum. So if you were 12, you had two models of real life on TV, one where the central plot was who will take Joni to the fall social, and in a pinch you knew it'd be Fonzie, or a high school girl staging a fire drill by climbing out her bedroom window in case her alcoholic mother burnt the house down.
Francesca, how could you? What are you trying to do?
We're having a fire drill.
A what?
A fire drill. You start drinking and then smoke in bed. So what else could we do? We have to protect ourselves.
Alateen-inspired fire drills might not be typical. In fact, a hallmark of the ABC After School special became the extreme nature of the lives portrayed on the screen. But they did acknowledge that there was more to adolescence than sock hops.
The after-school special just depicted more or less average kids doing average things and having average or above average or maybe a little bit slightly unrealistic problems. But there was a completely wonderful earnestness about them. They just took these young adult novels that are still well-respected and turned them into these little tales that kids could kind of identify with and relate to.
Fast forward a few years. The ABC specials ended in 1988. 2 years later, the Fox network came out with Beverly Hills 90210, a serial drama revolving around a group of teenagers, fashion, and money. Through this gaggle of rich, overprivileged kids, Fox explored teen complexities like alcoholism, divorce, drug use, sex, rape, eating disorders, and what it's like to get a Porsche for your 16th birthday. And a new trope was formed.
Yeah, I think the legacy for us was the second generation one. I mean, you know, it went After School Special to 90210, and I suppose we're picking up the baton from 90210.
Josh Schwartz is the 28-year-old executive producer for The OC, the latest and hottest incarnation of teen TV, which somehow doesn't feel that different from Pinballs. Sure, you'd have to make some sort of PS2 reference, and everyone would look a lot flashier than Christy McNichol ever did. But despite that, Josh at least seems earnest in his desire to help.
We take it very seriously that we have younger viewers, and we believe the best way to reach that audience is to create an honest conversation with them in which you're just showing behavior, but not necessarily glamorizing it. And when the consequences are shown for that behavior, it has a lot more of an impact. So we don't necessarily say Marissa drinking is a bad thing. However, her life and the consequences of her drinking certainly won't inspire anyone to go pick up the bottle.
You could almost see the ABC After School Special peeking out behind all those Prada bags. Melodrama, extreme situations, and yes, morality. Like when the character Ryan finds out his girlfriend is pregnant.
She got pregnant, and he did the right thing, and as far as he knew, went to stand by her and help her through that and be a supportive and loving, you know, father, even if it wasn't his child. No one took a position with Ryan and sort of reprimanded him, but he definitely had to endure the consequences of his actions.
And we learned all about those consequences in the 1980 Schoolboy Father with Rob Lowe and Dana Plato. Only Rob Lowe's consequences lasted for about an hour, whereas in The OC, a teen pregnancy can hang out in the subplot for an entire season, lurking behind countless party scenes, fast cars, and endless days of teen ennui. But whether it's an hour or a season, kids still identify with a floundering teen or 25-year-old adult, even if they're driving an SUV instead of their mom's station wagon.
What's amazing to me is how much they relate to the characters, because you would think that their situations are totally unrelatable, but, I mean, the show is at its core about what it's like to be an outsider. And so many kids go to school every day feeling that way. But there's also elements of, you know, the music the kids listen to, the references they make, the clothes they wear. There's that connection as well. But I think the emotional lives of the characters ring true.
There's much more of an emphasis on how to make this cool, how to make it hip.
But critic Maureen Ryan is still holding a candle for the ABC After School Specials.
That's what was great about these shows. They didn't really pretend that kids had all the answers or knew how to dress or knew how to act or had the right kind of friends. They sort of just assumed that kids were flailing around and didn't necessarily know what to do in their lives. And now I find that kids who are supposedly 16-year-old characters on TV have lives far more complex and sort of racy than I think my life is right now.
The lives of teens on TV were never about reality, whether it's Joni Cunningham or The OC's Marissa Cooper. And really, Helen Hunt throwing herself out the window the first time she tried Angel Dust isn't totally realistic either. But behind the morals and the hyperbolic plots, the ABC specials devoted 1 hour of programming to one kid and one problem. And then they did something revolutionary. They said it mattered. For On the Media, I'm Sarah Lemanchek.
And by the way, Thomas J., something just occurred to me.
What's that?
We don't always have to be pinballs.
Pinballs?
Because pinballs can't help what happens to them. But you and I can, and Harvey can. Like the time I ran away. But I came back. I mean, it doesn't sound like much, but it was me deciding something about my life. So as long as we're deciding, we don't have to be pinballs.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Tony Field, Jamie York, and Mike Volo, and edited this week by Consensus. Dylan Keefe is our technical director and Jennifer Munson, our engineer. We had help from Sarah Dalsimer. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl. Katya Rogers is our senior producer and John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. This is On the Media from WNYC. Brooke Gladstone will be back next week. I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. The Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, on the web at kauffman.org, and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. Support from the media comes from Hofstra University, which this November analyzes Bill Clinton's administration at the 11th of its presidential conferences. More details at hofstra.edu. and the Bidell Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the John and Anna Maria Phillips Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.